This week, for me, it's a very exciting week. It's not because of my birthday. Actually, my birthday is easy to remember. If you remember John chapter 3, verse 16, then you can remember my birthday, March 16. Yeah. So if you remember, if you can't memorize, you know, John chapter 3, 16, then you should, you know, try your best. I'm excited because this week we have an outreach event to the university student, the student in Auckland University and also AUT. And before my sermon, I want to show some of the pictures, photos to you. On last Friday, we tried to outreach to the student in Auckland's University and also AUT, and there are about over 100 of the students. They come into the church, and then we have a dinner together. Actually, the hardest part for the church to do the outreach is, you know, it's hard for us to invite people to step into the church, you know, step inside the church. So we try our best to give up lots of flyer, I think over 1,000. And finally, we can't expect how many people they are going to come, but finally there are about over 100 of them. Some of them, they didn't write down any contact, so we can't make a very accurate calculation. And because they are all university students and they all know how to speak English, even you look at them, they are most of them, they are from Hong Kong or Guangzhou. They all, I think half of them, they know how to speak Cantonese, and the other half, they can speak Mandarin. About 30 of them, they fill the form because we form a overseas student supporting group. And we tell them, we want to support you, we want to care to you, and we hope that sometime we can invite you to our place to have dinner. If you have if you need help in Auckland, and you can call us anytime. So we formed a overseas student supporting group, and then there are 30 of them. They fill the form and express that they are, you know, they are welcome. They welcome the support team to contact them, and they are over about 40 of them. They also fill the form to express that they are going to join the events in ACPC. So these are the photos. Yep. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to share your gospel in Auckland City. Father, we thank you for you. Thank you for giving us your word and also the Holy Spirit to guide us, to help us to know how to outreach to the people, to the community, and also to help us to understand your words and help us to learn your word and also remember your word. And also live up your word in our daily life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yep. Last month in the Beatitude Part 1, I taught about how to live a healthy life. And the first step to a healthy life in the first is in the first Beatitude of Jesus. It mentions that blessed are those who recognize they are spiritually helpless. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Jesus said, we need to admit that we are powerless and that we need God. And if you realize that you are not God and you need God, then you are blessed. Unless we admitted that without God we are nothing. Otherwise, we won't submit ourselves before Jesus Christ. So when we submit ourselves before Christ, when we are willing to trust and rely on Christ, then we can get the first blessing, which is the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. So the first step towards a healthy life in Beatitudes is also the basic of the foundation of the rest of the seven blessings to come. So to admit that you are spiritually helpless, this is the first things we have to know. So today we are going to look at the second blessing mentioned in Beatitudes chapter 5, verses 4. Jesus said, God blesses those people who grieve. They will find comfort. God blesses those people who grieve, and they will find comfort. And there are several types of grief mentioned in the Bible, and some are normal, and some are abnormal, some are reasonable, but some are unacceptable. I want to show you three types of griefs mentioned in the Bible. Type of griefs. First, selfish grief. You know, some people grieve because their desire and selfish plan cannot be satisfied or fulfilled. You know, this kind of grief is self-centered. God is not going to comfort, you know, these people. Let me show you an example. In 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 4, the Bible says, so Ahab went home sullen and angry because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my ancestor. So Ahab lays on his bed, sulking and refused to eat. His sorrow. This is an example of selfish grief in the Bible. The second one, death of loved one or being treated unfairly. The Bible says there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. You know, we have to admit that there are times when human beings would feel sad, and there are times when we would mourn and also weep. You know, when Abraham's wife Sarah died, the Bible says Abraham went to mourn for Sarah and to weep over her because he lost his wife. He lost his wife. And Hagar sobbed because he could not bear to watch his son Ishmael die of thirst in the desert. And also, if you read Hannah's story in the Bible, you can find that, and you can see that Hannah could not have children, and her rival Peninnah provoked her, and so he wept and could not eat. You know, grieving because of the death of loved one, or grieving because you feel like being treated unfairly. And these things often happens in your life, in my life. And if we will count, if we want to share our grievance, I believe it would be a very long story for, you know, every one of us. So the more we think, sometimes the more we think about, you know, the things that cause us, you know, to grieve, I think the more we think about them, the more sorrow we will become. Number three, grief upon sins. Among all the grieving and weeping mentioning in the Bible, there is one which I want you to pay attention to, that is grieving upon sins. Grieving before God for one's sins, or grieving before God for one's spiritual situations. Let me give you an example. You know, while Ezra was praying and confessing, weeping and throwing himself down before the house of God, a lot of crowd of Israelite men, women, and children, they gathered around him, and they too wept bitterly. You know, Prophet Jeremiah, okay, said, oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. You know, I will weep day and night for the slain of my people. Why? Because of the sins of the Israelites and the judgment of God upon them. So, brother and sister, Jesus say, what did Jesus say? Jesus say, God blesses those people who grieve, and they will find comfort. If you have pen, you can circle the word grief. The word for grief used here is a Greek word that describes the deepest sorrow in a person's heart. You know, nobody knows and nobody can predict when we would, you know, experience this kind of sorrows. You may be grieving over, you know, some things at this moment, and in the middle of grieving, do we still have hope? Do we still have hope or not? You know, Jesus said, God blesses those people who grieve, and they will find comfort. If you have pen, you can also circle the word comfort. The word comfort in the Bible, sometimes it translated into an advocate or a helper or a comforter. You know, God blesses those people who grieve, and they will find comfort. So they will find comforter. They will find comfort. This is a promise. So the question is, how to have hope during a time of grief? How do we have hope during a time of sorrow? How do we have hope when we are, you know, crying or tears coming out from our cheeks? You know, there are four things I want to share with you this morning. The first thing is, I must remember God is with me. When we are in a time of sorrow, we need to remember that God is with us. I remember God with me because the first reason we often feel hopeless is, you know, most of the time, we forgot, you know, about God. We forget about God. You know, we think we are on our own. We think, you know, I have to solve all my problems myself, and God isn't there, and we forget God. The Bible says this in Job chapter 8, verses 11. Those who forget God have no hope. Those who forget God have no hope. If there were no God in this world, we'll have a lot of reason to be discouraged. We have had a lot of reasons to feel helpless and hopeless. You know, there's a person called Erikson. You know, he's one of the Nobel Prize winners. He once wrote an article a while back in National Review magazine, and he said, if you want to summarize all the problems of the 20th century and all the bad things that happened in the last 100 years, you could sum it up on one phrase. You could draw to a conclusion in one sentence. You know, it was the title of his article, Men Have Forgotten God. When we forget God, we tend to act like animal, he said. When we forget God, we tend to act like animal. When we forget God, we tend to be selfish. But Job say, when we forget God, we tend to lose hope. So in order to have hope in a time of grief, we must remember that God is with us. We must remember that God is with you and with me. Number two, I must remember God's cares about me. Jeremiah, prophet of our Old Testament, was known as the weeping prophet. You know, the message that Jeremiah preached were not good news. Rather, he was preaching about God's punishment upon the people who refused to repent. And that is, their country would be conquered and they would be captured. So Jeremiah wept over the suffering and the sins of his people. He wept and he grieved. And can he still see hope? Can Jeremiah still see hope? Jeremiah said, yet this I came, I call to mind and therefore I have hope. Yet this I call to mind and therefore I have hope. What is this that rekindle his hope? What is this that rekindle his hope? Jeremiah said, can we read together? I have hope. When I think of this, the Lord's love never ends. His mercies never stop, and they are new every morning. When Jeremiah, in the time of sorrow, he cried, okay, he grieved, and he remembered one thing, God's love, his love and his mercy. He said that, I have hope. When I think of this, his love never ends. His mercy never stops, and they are new every morning. So when we thought about God's love, when he thought about God's love, when he thought about, you know, God's eternal love, love that never ends, his hope rekindled. So the Bible also said, as a father has compassion of his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Just like a father who had compassion on his children, so our Lord has also have the compassion on those who fear him. Number three, have hope in time of grief. How to have hope in time of grief? To remember that he knows my situation. To remember that he knows our situation. He knows my problems. He knows your pain. He knows the things that hurt in our hearts. So like some mix in some say, You know how troubled I am. You have kept a record of my tears. Did you know that the Bible said that God has kept a record of every tears that has fallen from your cheeks? You have never, ever, ever shed a tear, you know, that God missed. Something is beyond His love. Nothing is beyond His love. Nothing is beyond His compassionate gaze. And He is with you. He loves you and loves me. And He sees everything that you have gone through, are going through, and knows that what you are going to go through. So in fact, the Bible says, when you are in so much pain sometimes, and you don't know how, you know, you are so confused about something in your life, and you even can't, you know, put it into words, or you even can't pray about it. Because, you know, sometimes we are in the time, when we are in time of sorrow, it's hard for us to, you know, verbalize. We can't verbalize what we feel. Or the Bible says God prays, but the Bible says God prays for you and me. He talks to Himself about our pain. He talked to Himself about our pain. In Romans chapter 8, it says, when we don't know what to pray, or we are in pain and don't know what way to turn, the Holy Spirit will pray for us. So in some way, you know, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Bible reminds us, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. So God talks to Himself. The Bible said God talked to Himself. When we pray, we talk to God. But if Holy Spirit pray for us, He talked to Himself. So God talked to Himself about your pain, about my pain. And that's how much we matter even when we don't know how to pray. And He is praying for you and to Himself. So that's how much you matter to God. That's how much we matter to God. And that's how intimately, you know, He is aware of what's going on in your life, in my life. The Bible also reminds us, cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Cast all our anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. You have seen the crisis in my soul. Psalm 31, verses 8. Lord, have seen the crisis in our soul. So every time when we are in a time of sorrow or we grieve, we should, where does the hope come from? The Bible reminds us that He knows our situation. Number four, remembers that He promised to help. We need to remember that He promised to help. The Bible reminds us again and again that if we turn to Him, He has promised to help. The Bible said, when everything was, you know, hopeless, Abraham's story, when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway and deciding to live not on the basis of what he could do, but on the basic, but on what God has said He would do. Romans chapter 4, verses 18. Over 7,000 promises from the Bible affirmed, you know, God says, I want to help you. And God cannot lie when He make a promise. He cannot lie when He make a promise. He cannot lie when He make an oath. And these things encourage us, and they give us strength to hold on to the hope we have been given. How to have hope when you are grieving? By remembering God's words. When you remember God is with you, when you remember that God cares about you, when you remember that God knows your situation, and when you remember that God promises to help, and that's His loving kindness is better than life, you could have hope in a time of grief. you and I could have hope in a time of grief. I read a story regarding a minister, his name is Booth Tucker. Booth Tucker once spoke in an evangelical meeting in Chicago. And in his sermon, he tried his best to emphasize on the comforting of Jesus Christ. And after his sermon, a lot of broken-hearted people submitted themselves to Christ. And when the meeting was over, a man came forward, stand before Tucker, and said to Tucker, he said, "Mr. Tucker, if your wife were just dead like mine, and your baby were crying for his mother all night long, but his mother would never come back anymore, Tucker, I don't think you will be saying what you said tonight again." It's a big challenge, right? Unfortunately, a few days later, Mr. Tucker's wife died in a train accident. Her body was transported back to Chicago, and during the funeral, Tucker looked at the coffin. He looked at the appearance of his wife, and he turned to the audience and says, "One day, a man told me, if my wife were dead, I would never preach about the comfort of Jesus Christ." And his tears running down. If you are here today, I want to tell you right now, my heart is broken. But Jesus put songs in my heart now. If you are here now, I want you to know that Jesus is comforting me now. God blesses those people who grieve. They will find comfort, and it is the promise of God. And besides comforting us through the Holy Spirit, through His words, and through other believers, God says, one day, He will wipe every tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Brother and sister, I don't know how you face your difficulty. How's the way you face your difficulty? Most of the time, we forget God. Most of the time, we don't want to read the Bible. Most of the time, we just hide in our room and we don't want to talk to anybody. But please, remember His word. Blessed are those who grieve, for our God will comfort them. I would like to invite worship team to share a song with us, "The Power of Your Love."